10 because your iPhone is stupid.
No way. My iPhone is so awesome.
No. Your iPhone's a turd and a half.
Anyway, let's talk about Nitro.
Nitro?
No.
Micros.
Micros. Oh, micros. No Nitro. I would prepare for freaking Nitro.
What?
Yeah. All right, we'll do micros.
Micros.
Welcome to episode number 21 of BKRC Podcast.
We're back.
Yeah, I didn't say Smack Talk RC today.
You wanted to, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I really did. Bad.
You can't. Smack Talk RC is no longer.
Anyway, we have... is this technical? No, but it's more informative than last week's.
Right.
Last week was banter.
This one's more organized, for sure.
And the banter was lame.
No, but it was okay.
People enjoyed it.
I got a lot of positive comments from it. People were like, just listening to you and I just talk about nothing.
Yeah, Doug Darby actually gave us some compliments. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
Glad you're enjoying our
easy
listening podcast, I guess you could say.
Background noise. Yeah.
But he had a valid point. We brought in some... We just kind of shared some of the cool, you know, the fun times and some of the highlights of what an event is all about. And, you know, I would tend to think that there's listeners out there that actually have not been to an event or have been to maybe one or two, and perhaps they've just been there for a few hours and not really sort of immersed themselves into the whole event experience. And, I mean, staying at an event, staying at the field, camping, and just being a part of the whole thing, it's just a blast.
It's different. It's fun.
So what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Not a whole lot. Just kind of been hanging out, relaxing, chilling, coming to work. You know, another day in the life.
Yeah. You? What else? Have you flown?
No, I've been taking it easy because we've been traveling a lot and doing a lot of flying and videos and stuff. So kind of taking a short little break from that. But we'll be back and flying again next weekend, I'm sure.
So we also want to send thanks to our friend Rob Winter.
Yes.
Susie just knocked on our door here right before we hit record, and she brought us some cool t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Rob. We'll post a picture with the t-shirts later.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Awesome. And thanks for listening, too. I know you listen every Wednesday, so.
Religiously.
So today we're going to talk about micro helis.
Micro helicopters.
Now, disclosure, we are not going to discuss the, I guess you could call those, what, sub micros? Like, we're talking about like what we would consider a true micro, right? Anything between, I don't know, in the 200 millimeter rotor blade range, right?
Right, 200 to probably 325. That's what we're going to cover today.
Yeah, not even, because the 325 is kind of like outdated. Like, that was the old 450.
Well, yeah, we're just covering the history of it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
The main size is probably 250 to 280.
Yeah, correct. I feel like when you get to the new modern 450, quote-unquote, helicopters, like the Protos 380, like the Goblin 380, like, or what was it, Protos 350? I don't know if it's still around, or 380, 370, something like that. The Goblin 380, what else is out there? There's a new Oxy, I think, that's been stretched, so it swings 380s.
Oxy 4 stretch, and then a T-Rex 470.
Yeah. When you get to those, that I feel like that's just a different... That's to me, that's not a micro anymore, right?
It's like a small 500.
Yeah, they've grown. They're not what they used to be. So we'll focus on the 200, like you said, 200 to 3 to the old 450, 325. Yeah.
Let's start with the history. What is micro meant in the past?
Oh, boy. Well, you don't have to go too far back in time. I remember in the mid-2000s, like 2004, 2005, 2006... micros were a small micro, anything under... So the original 450, quote-unquote, size helicopter, which some people question, why is it called a 450 if it swings 325 millimeter blades? It's because the people, the companies that started the trend of that size, that were using the motor size as a reference, not the blade size. Right. And this is why Align still continues to do like a 470 now. And, and you know, and their 500 doesn't swing 500 millimeter blades. It swings like 425s, I think it is, or 450s perhaps, or something like that. It's because they use that number as a reference for the motor size on the helicopter. And then slowly over the years, that changed. And then it became more like a, more like the blade size. And then they started to grow, you know, and stretch. And the original 325 millimeter blade became a 350 millimeter blades. That became the standard for a while. But Nitro back in the day, micros, I keep saying Nitro. Micros back in the day, boy, like I said, in the mid-2000s, you had the only one that was out there, say 2005, was the original T-Rex. The only one that I feel like...
There's two.
No, no, there's more, but hold on. The only one that I feel like was perhaps the first, almost you could say reliable and truly functional helicopter for that size was perhaps the T-Rex 450 of the time, which was a gray thing.
Yes.
And it was it was a copy of a Raptor in the sense that it didn't have any mixing on the swash plate.
That's right.
It had that front lever for elevator and so it had one servo for each function, one servo for pitch, I think, for elevator, one for aileron, like an old Raptor.
Right.
Before the CCPM mixing. But before that, there was a Shogun, right?
The Shogun. Do you know who made the Shogun?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The same people that became Gowie later.
Exactly. Yeah. The exact same people. And the Shogun was cool because I can't quite remember, but I feel like the collective servo was inside the frame at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
And then it just had a rod that would move the blade grips up and down. It was cool. It was cool design. It wasn't... The performance wasn't as good as the T-Rex by any means, but it still flew pretty good. But of course, this is going back to the mid to early 2000s, so technology has certainly come a long way since then.
But. Yeah, but you know, you bring up the Shogun, and I think that was the first helicopter, in my opinion, like, I think that was the first micro helicopter that actually was reliable and flew well.
Yes, correct.
For that size, right. Because everything else up to that point was absolute junk.
Yeah.
It really was, especially in today's standards, but even in back in the day standards, it was junk.
Right.
My first micro was a Hummingbird from Century Helicopters. It was called a Hummingbird Fixed Pitch.
Right.
Or Hummingbird Fixed Pitch Pro or something like that.
Yeah. And then there was another one, the... MS Heli Hornet.
The Hornet, yes.
Yeah, the MS Heli Hornet. Those things were even smaller than the Shoguns. I think those were closer to 200s, weren't they?
But they weren't as reliable. You know who had one of those? Earl. Earl had a Hornet.
Yeah.
And it flew. He used to fly it and stuff, but I don't think it was to that level where it got to that point later to where they were more reliable, they flew better, they had more power and everything else.
Yeah.
But like going back to the Century Hummingbird, that was my first micro, and it was not only fixed pitch, which is the listeners may know, like it was very difficult. You couldn't go upside down,
right?
But it was even difficult to fly upright, even and especially on a windy day, and you know, and it had a motor driven tail, so it was horrible. The Shogun was tail driven, right? Had a belt, I believe.
The belt or a I thought it was a torque tube.
Torque tube, you might be right, but it did not have a motor in the belt and the tail, so it was belt or torque tube driven.
Yeah.
So it was a completely different animal. It flew way better.
Yeah.
And then of course the T-Rex later on, starting with the T-Rex 450. I think it was the 450X, which was the gray helicopter without CCPM, and then I believe they made several revisions of the same gray helicopter, and eventually they released the T-Rex 450 Pro, which was it the Pro or was it the V2? I'm missing my history and my time frame there. But they
SE,
correct. Good catch.
Yeah.
The SE had CNC aluminum in a lot of areas instead of just plastic grips and stuff like that, and it had carbon fiber frames instead of plastic frames. And I think from that point on, the rest is history. It all that happened from that point forward was that they became lighter, more powerful, and then the blades got longer. So mm-hmm. it went from 325 mm-hmm. to the 350 and again to, mm-hmm. to these other models like the Goblin 380 and stuff that swings, you know, anything larger than a 350, 370, 380 millimeter blades, which I don't consider that a micro anymore, is it? I mean, kind of, but not really.
I wouldn't say it. I mean, a 380 to me isn't even a micro. That's a small 500 in my opinion. I think anything nowadays, today's standards, anything that's a micro is a 200 to like 280, like a Fireball or an Oxy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
An Oxy. But
I agree.
I would also say that the T-Rex 450 was hands down, probably until the end of time, the most popular micro helicopter to ever exist. Everyone had
T-Rex 450, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I at any given point owned five of them.
Well, Align, again, was the first company to release a micro at the mm-hmm. time that actually worked, and that worked well.
Yeah, it worked
and
great.
And you could buy parts everywhere, and the parts were inexpensive, and it flew really, really well. There was nothing else because the Shogun was smaller.
It didn't work quite as well either.
Most of the other stuff had like motor-driven tails, the only people that enjoy motor-driven tails were people like James Van Hook that used right tail more than left. But the minute you start pirouetting left, you had no control on the tail.
It's done.
I mean, there was nothing. So Align, absolutely, they capture the market.
And cheap components like flybarless wasn't even a thing. So flybar, all you had to get was a tail gyro, which is what, $20, $30 if you got a GY 401.
Yeah.
Cheap servos, micro servos, cheap electronics. So, and it was 3S. Not even today's standard is at least 6S on these things.
Yeah.
So that was a 3S 2200 back in those days.
And in the 200 class category, I believe the first helicopter I had in the 200 blade category, it was many years ago also, and it was made by, I think it was Gowie. It was, wasn't it called the Hurricane or something like that?
Gowie started the Hurricane line. They started with a 150, I think.
Yeah, I started with like, it was like a 160 or a 200. I can't remember, but it was pretty solid, but it had a lot of issues. Yeah. It had a lot of issues.
Yeah, their most popular one was the Hurricane 200.
Yeah, and then Align released the T-Rex 250, mm-hmm. which I helped a lot with the design and you know a lot of aspects of that helicopter, not necessarily design in itself, but a lot of the work that went into the helicopter, and it had its fair share of issues just because the parts were so small and you know mm-hmm. it's so hard to machine small parts, but I think that was the beginning of the new era. Like that was the beginning of what later mm-hmm. became the Fireball from Goblin or the Oxy, mm-hmm. you know, helicopters, like in terms of the new 200 size micro. And like you said, you know, the new older micro helis, which are now swinging almost 400 millimeter blades, they're really not micros. They're like a small 500 or something.
Yeah.
So they've been replaced by this 200 millimeter, two to 300 millimeter blade range of helis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you brought up the Hurricane 200, which I personally logged thousands and thousands of flights on that thing. Because when it came out, I was flying for a company called Empire Hobby, which was the U.S. distributor for Gowie. And I was traveling all around the place demoing and competing with that thing. So I put a bunch of flights on it all over the place. And it developed over the years from the original Hurricane 200 to different versions and upgrade parts and torque tubes and 3, 4, 5 blade rotor heads. So that thing really molded me into what I am as far as flying stuff.
Oh yeah, now. you were the micro king, man. I mean,
I flew those things every day.
Yeah, you were the micro king. I mean, you won almost every was it eFest
mm-hmm.
in Illinois,
and then iHobby Expo.
And iHobby Expo, yeah, you almost won every single one. Like you're the micro king. That's back in the days when you couldn't even like. You could fly the big stuff, but it was like watching a different pilot. It was weird. Yeah. It was weird.
I got so accustomed to having unlimited power on a 200 that when I'd go fly an OS 91 Stratus 90, I was like, "What is this thing?"
Yeah,
terrible. But yeah, those are the good old days. But you flew the 250 and you helped with it. You certainly made it into what it was. I'm sure it's changed a lot since when you worked on it.
Yeah, I was looking at it just for the purposes of this episode, the new Align 250 equivalent. It's basically a T-Rex 250 Pro DFC.
Yeah.
So now they're making it with a DFC head. But you know what? Nothing against Align, because they really set the... I guess they started this trend of 250 in a very popular way.
Hmm.
But, you know, their 250 model only swings 205 millimeter blades. So it's smaller than anything else that's out there.
Right.
In terms of 250 class type helicopters. It comes at a good price, though. I was looking at it, $300. Mm-hmm. No flywireless system, but everything else. So
that's cheap.
That's not bad at all. That's not cheap. Bad at all.
It's you get one cheap. Box and everything. All you need is a gyro.
Yeah. Servos, ESC motor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Blades.
Yeah. It's a good deal.
Not bad at all. But I feel like the T-Rex 250 Pro is kind of like similar to the Blade 270. Yeah, well, actually, not really. Perhaps in terms of... We'll get into that. But I feel like they're not the high performance machines that exist today.
It's more of a budget machine.
Yeah, we can get into that here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But before that, how do you think that flying all this small stuff like help you like develop, like help you with your flying overall?
It allowed me to log a lot more flights and flight time without having to go to the field, because my dad had a really big backyard at his house, so I could just go in the backyard with a Hurricane 200 or even a T-Rex 450 and just knock out 10, 15 flights a day without ever having to leave the house. You know, our flying field was 45 minutes away, so we'd be loading up the car and going all the way there and all that. But even in the dead of winter, just run outside, fly, and then run back inside.
But what about, like, how do you feel like that actually helped? Like, how does it translate? So, like, for instance, if somebody... Say there's a newbie listening and he has that newbie has like a small helicopter, an Oxy, a Fireball, whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you think? I mean, let's start from the beginning. Do you think that learning with a micro is a good idea? Do you think it helps your flying? Or do you think it's something that pilots should do later after they get more comfortable with their initial phases of the learning experience?
I would probably say start with something bigger, because a micro can be really frustrating to work on, as well as to learn on, because you remember how squirrely they are. They get out of control in a hurry. So I would say start with something like a 500 or 550 to get your basic stuff down. And once you feel comfortable flying, then get a micro, because that's something you can literally put in the back of a motorcycle, stop at the field on the way home and do 5-10 flights or behind work or whatever. Yeah. So,
and if you crash it, it's less expensive to repair. And usually you don't get as bummed when you put in the micro than when you put in, you know, your 570 or your 700 or your 550 or whatever.
Right.
I agree. Cool.
Well,
so setups. Let's talk a little bit about setups, how things have changed, you know, with regards to, let's just talk about the setups of back in the day. Mm-hmm. So typical motor, Alliant called it a 450 size motor. I don't know why they go there, but, man, the power has changed, hasn't it?
It seemed like a lot at the time. Yeah.
I think that the power has changed for a lot of different reasons. Number one, the motors have gotten better, more efficient, and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the original T-Rex 450 back in the day had a line motor. That it wasn't bad. It was okay. But then Scorpions came to the market, and they had this crazy powerful motor for 450 class helicopter.
What was it, the 2221? I think
I don't remember what it was. Like, I still have a video somewhere, like flying that thing for the first time. I
remember that the high power one was the -6.
Dash six. And so that kind of started the trend for more power. And then obviously, I mean, look at the motors we can get nowadays.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's incredible. Scorpio makes a decent motor. Xnova makes a very powerful motor. Like, there's all these incredibly powerful motors. I think another thing that has changed things is back in the day, we were flying these things on 3S packs. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was the standard for most of these. Nowadays, we're flying them on 6S packs, at least the older generation. And the new generation, like 200 millimeter blade type helicopters, they were definitely 3S.
Two or 3S.
And at times 2S.
Yeah.
And nowadays, there's still some 3S options, but most of them are running high performance ones are doing 6S.
Right.
So batteries, you know, we're pushing more voltage. Motors are more powerful. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the construction, the quality of the parts is better because the machining technology has improved in the last decade immensely. So now the parts are more accurately cut and they fit better. The tolerances are tighter. It's just a different experience. Blades have improved. I mean, I remember back in the day, the T-Rex 250 was swinging plastic blades, and those Hurricane models from Galway were swinging plastic blades too, or wooden blades.
Yeah.
Now we have nice carbon fiber blades that are perfectly matched and balanced, and
Remember the T-Rex 450 had the wooden blades with the holes in it?
And
they,
yeah.
They just had covering over them. Mm-hmm. And then they came out with, I think before the carbon, I think, weren't they fiberglass blades?
I think so. They had a fiberglass blade, a carbon blade at the end. Yeah. But even the blades nowadays are so much, even so much better than back then.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of advancements. Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing that have pushed the micro to the next level is, like I keep saying, is the machining, the world of CNC, CNC machining. Like, it was such a challenge to cut such a small part 12, 14 years ago. Whereas today, it's still not easy to do, but it has gotten so much better.
Yeah.
Everything is tighter, is neater. It's easier to cut for the CNC people, for the machine itself. Mm-hmm. And it fits perfect. Mm-hmm. There's no issues, you know?
Yeah.
So that has made a huge difference. Not to mention, of course, now we're flying flowerless, which has added more power in itself because it's gotten rid of all this fly bar and all the fly bar associated parts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of changes with regards to, I think micro has seen the most evolution in the last decade in terms of, like, how they used to be then and how they are today versus, like, you know, traditional, like, 700 class machine. They've changed a lot, too, but I feel like micro has evolved immensely over the last decade.
Yeah, and servos have gotten a lot better, too. I remember when the T-Rex 450 first came out, the servo to have was, what was it, in a high-tech HS50 or 52 or 56 or something like that. And, you know, micro servos these days are metal case, stronger gears, faster, torque. Like, everything about what micros were have advanced in every aspect.
Yeah, good point about the servos because, like, way back in the day, like you said, they had plastic cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were pretty sluggish and slow. It was almost impossible, if not impossible, to find a micro servo that would run on high voltage, right?
This is true.
And and you're running these ESCs with built-in BECs or pushing 4.8 volts or whatever. Now, like, the servos are totally different league. Like, our micro servo that's made for the little micro stuff is, I mean, the speed is 0.035 at 7.4 volts.
Yeah.
That was a dream if somebody would have told me, hey, you're going to make a servo that is 0.035 speed and you're going to be able to fit in a 250 class machine, I would have said, you're out of your mind. There's just no way.
Yeah.
So yeah, crazy, crazy advancements and you know, progress when it comes to the micro world, no doubt.
Crazy, crazy.
No doubt.
We can kind of move along. And how does the original, say, T-Rex 450 and 250 compare to what we have today as a fireball? I think that's kind of a big jump because SAB has basically gotten rid of the drivetrain altogether, being that the motor is direct drive. So the motor is directly attached to the main shaft. There's no main gear. There's no one-way. There's nothing. The motor is directly connected to the main shaft. The ESC has gotten stronger. The motor is special made for the fireball. Like, it's handmade just for that. Not handmade, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not meant for anything else besides the fireball.
Yeah.
So it's
got the fireball is like a completely different animal, man. It's like the fireball is one of a kind. There's nothing like it, right?
Yeah.
Having a motor that does not connect traditionally to, you know, to a pinion and a main gear and so forth, it's just a direct drive motor. So whatever your motor RPM is, your main rotor RPM, that's crazy. That's unheard of, right?
Yeah, it's wild.
It has a lot of pros, but it has some cons too. I mean, we have to be honest about, regardless of the product it is. I feel like for someone that wants to, that's okay, so let's start from scratch with regards to the models that are out there today. I feel like there's really, truly only four. And I totally apologize to the listeners if I'm missing a model. I'm sure there's more stuff made in China and so forth. But, like, companies that stand behind their product, there's truly four models that you could consider today that fall within that range of 200 millimeter to, like, 280 millimeter blades, right? You have the Align T-Rex 250 Pro.
Yep.
I don't really put that into that same class, though, because it's 205 millimeter blades. So it's really quite falling short on the blade size, and that makes a big difference. From 200 to 280, it's a big difference in blade size.
Big jump.
But we're going to throw it in there. Value helicopter, obviously, Align has good reputation. You can buy parts everywhere, whatever. Then you also have, aside from the Align, that I feel like, it again, it's being redundant, but it's small. It's not quite up to that blade size.
Yeah.
Then you're left practically with three models. You have the Blade, okay? What is the Blade called? I think
is that a Fusion, maybe?
No, it's the Blade 270.
Blade 270. Okay.
Yeah. Then you have the Fireball mm-hmm. and Mini Comets mm-hmm. from SAB.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Oxy. Which one's the Oxy that swings 280s?
It's called the Oxy 3.
Oxy 3.
Yeah, right now what's available is the Oxy 3 Torek Edition, which mm-hmm. spins 280 millimeter blades.
280.
Yeah.
So it's basically the same size as a Fireball or a Mini Comet in terms of
Correct.
Rotor size, blade
Correct.
Size.
Yeah.
So when you consider all those options, if we get rid of the Align option, again, not trying to discriminate against Align,
right.
but it's just a different blade size. So it falls in a different category in my eyes.
Agreed.
But when you're looking at those, and you have the Blade. Well, I mean, the Blade retails for like $480. But that's everything. That's motor ESC servos. That's even a Beastex Spectrum. Spectrum flabberless controller, like with Beastex built in. It's like their newest generation, AR7210BX, I think.
But I believe it also comes built. Like, it's kind of plug and play.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
For that price, you can't beat that. $480 with flight controller and everything. Like,
amazing.
You just can't beat it.
Yeah.
Some people argue that blades, you know, when you crash them and whatever, they break more parts. They're not as durable. There's more plastic parts inside and mm-hmm. whatever. They're not as robust. But I still think it's a great way to start if you want to get into a micro and you don't want to break bank, right?
Right.
Because everything else is a lot more money.
Or if you don't really know how to build, if you're not a very good mechanic.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to worry about building and all that.
Yeah, ready to go out of the box.
Yeah.
And then you're left with, we'll talk about the Mini Comet later because it's a beast of its own, but then you're left with either Fireball or the Oxy 3, right?
Yeah. Just to kind of jump into like the Oxy 3 real quick and then we'll go into Fireball and Mini Comet. But the Oxy 3, did a little bit of research, and what they have now is the Oxy 3 Torek Edition, which looks like they have some metal upgrades and just kind of make it stronger and bling it out a little bit Torek style. But that retails for $299.99, and I believe it might come with a motor. I don't think it does, though.
Okay.
But that's just like it's not built.
That's the kit. Yeah, and it's kit form, and you got to buy all the components for it.
Yeah, right? Servos, flybows, all that, and build it up.
And then the Fireball, there's a combo and a non-combo version.
Mm-hmm.
The combo comes with a motor, the speed controller, the four servos,
mm-hmm.
The blades,
mm-hmm.
And then all you have to do is add your flybarless system of choice, and your battery, and that retails for $449.
Yep.
But let's get into which one would be the best helicopter to get. So, I might get yelled at from the Italians, right? Mm. But I have to be honest. I feel like if you want the ultimate performance. Period. You want the lightest and the highest performance helicopter in that class.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that comes close to the Oxy. Period.
Correct.
Oxy 3, way to go.
Yeah. It's light. It's fast.
Yeah. Light, Nimble. Fast. It's got all carbon fiber and aluminum mm-hmm. parts. Mm-hmm. It's very high end for what it is. No question.
Yep.
Great job to Luca and Vernizzi with that helicopter because it's exceptionally a good helicopter.
Sure.
If you are more into... if you don't want to be afraid of crashing, okay. If you don't want to consider replacing parts and you want something that is more durable, but that is within that range, that league, that's within that league, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
I guess then the Fireball is the way to go because it's built like a tank.
Oh, the thing is so resilient.
Yeah,
so resilient.
Is very, very, very strong. And granted, the frames are plastic, they're not
mm-hmm.
carbon,
mm-hmm.
but they're very strong plastic. There's two halves together, and the frames are practically impossible to break.
I've never seen someone break one before.
Yeah, and then if you get a stock Fireball, even better, like if you don't get carried out with the bling and stuff, like maybe you can get a couple of upgrade parts to make them more durable,
mm-hmm.
but if you keep like the plastic boom and canopy... Man, I mean, the canopies are in the $13, $14 range. The booms are at $9 range. Like, you know, you can have boom and canopy for $20 and change.
Yeah.
So it's really cheap to repair when you have a crash.
Right.
It's not going to give you that performance that the Oxy does give you, But it's, I don't know, man. It could be close. It really does depend on so many things, right? It depends on the setup. It depends on the pilot.
Yeah.
I think that if you build a Noxy 3 with the right setup, you will feel more comfortable throwing it around if you're at a early level of like 3D or sport flying, whereas with the Fireball, it might feel a little heavier in the air to you. So you might have to like perhaps get the competition motor so you get more power. It's not quite there, but in the hands of somebody like you, Kyle, like it looks just as good, if not better than the Oxy. I don't mean to be rude, but it all depends on the pilot.
Yeah, I think the Fireball flies great for what it is. I mean, in this day and age, I really don't fly micros that often at all. I tend to stick to 700s, but I still enjoy flying the Fireball and throwing it around. But to kind of jump back a bit, you said this thing is built like a tank, and that's a perfect way to explain it. Because when we had Mr. Michael Gator here one weekend, he was having some issue with his. It was the motor wasn't spooling up right, and it was kind of dropping RPMs. And I was like, all right, give me that thing. Let's just go fly it. What's the worst that could happen? And the issue was that his motor bullet was coming unsoldered due to his poor soldering. And I'm flying it in the backyard, and I do this full positive pitch power loop. And right at the top, decides to desolder. And it falls out of the air. And there's no one-way, so there's no autoing it.
That was here at the house, right?
Yeah, right in the backyard.
Yeah.
It falls out of the air probably from about at least 50 feet. Bounces off the landing gear and tips over. The only thing that broke was the battery strap. 50 feet free fall.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, you know, some people would disagree with that statement in the sense that when some people crash, they crash full power.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes a big difference if you hit the throttle hold ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that's an important tip for everybody flying a micro, especially a micro. A micro does not carry anywhere near the inertia that a large helicopter does. So if you can be fast enough with that throttle hold ahead of your crash, you can save a lot of parts.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of parts.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't know, man. Head to head, the Fireball and the Oxy are in the same league, I guess you could say. But it's just a matter of personal preference. I mean, you know, it's no secret that Oxy has his group of fans, right? Mm-hmm. And so does the Fireball people. And when the Oxy fans get together, they bash the Fireball and vice versa. And that's okay. Like, I understand the Oxy is a lighter helicopter. Yeah. So technically, you should get better performance just simply because of the lighter weight. But other than that, I don't think the Oxy can handle the abuse that the Fireball can. I just don't think it can. There's no main gears to strip on the Fireball. I mean, it's just a simpler design, right?
Yeah.
Overall.
I think it's got fewer parts as well. So when it comes time to building it, rebuilding it, there's not a lot to forget, maybe.
Yeah. Outside of the whole frame section, like, there's really not a whole lot of parts.
Yeah. And the boom is still detachable in a crash on the Fireball. Where on the Oxy, you're going to probably bend a boom.
Yeah.
And maybe tear up your tail belt and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like your boom supports and things like that.
I don't think it has any
boom supports. It doesn't have any?
I don't think so.
Not the three. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, maybe the bigger one does.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So that's kind of it. But something you touched on earlier was the Mini Comet. And I think that's more what I would call a boutique micro. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ironic part of it all, though, is it doesn't cost much more than a Fireball because, granted, the price of the Mini Comet is the same as the Fireball Combo, $449. It does not come with servos.
Right.
And it doesn't come with a speed controller. So
it does.
It
comes with a speed controller and motor.
You're right, speed controller and motor. So
right.
I'm confusing it with the non-combo Fireball that
doesn't come with
a speed controller. But yeah, so you get the motor and the speed controller, but you don't get the servos. So and you still pay the same $449. So it's more money.
Right.
But man, I don't know. There's something about the Mini Comet that makes it so freaking cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm not saying this because we're associated with Goblin, but I think it's the most, to me, it's a love-hate relationship for some people. Like, some people can't really like that design or that style, but if you're into that kind of like full fuse type look, it's the most beautiful micro helicopter ever made, period.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I mean,
it's awesome.
The finish, you know, all painted, clear coated fiberglass, carbon fiber boom and canopy. The boom and the canopy mesh together to where you don't even know where one begins, the other one ends. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, it's so well designed.
Yeah, Enrico nailed it with that one for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it does 3D really well too, not only speed.
Yeah, and a lot of people believe that it's only a speed heli, and it there's no such thing as a micro mm-hmm. speed class, but mm-hmm. that was the whole purpose, is for people to, like, race and do speed flying just for fun without breaking bank.
Yeah.
But it does great 3D, like you said. Yeah. It really does 3D very well.
And then if you also have a Fireball, it's got all the same head parts, all the same tail parts.
Yeah.
So you can buy just a bunch of head parts and crash them both and put them
and
both
in there. And I think 3D is better than the Fireball because it's more rigid. There's mm-hmm. very little flex.
There's no flex at all.
Yeah. The mechanics are mounted on the fuse, which is part of the boom, and it's just like a one-piece rigid helicopter.
Yeah. 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 No, it's sweet. It's sweet. They're fun to throw around in the evening, maybe night flying at events.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen people with their Fireball because it's a plastic semi-transparent, and people are putting LEDs inside the boom and canopy to fly tonight.
Yeah, yeah, and it glows. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
See, I've always thought of micros as like, micros to me are like, is what I call a parking lot helicopter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean this in a bad way. Some people might misinterpret what I'm about to say, but I don't picture myself ever taking a micro to a fun fly to the flight line. I mean, we've done it, you know, when the Fireball came out to promote it in the past. We've done it before, but even when I was flying a line and, like, they asked me, obviously I was supposed to fly the 250 because we were supposed to promote it. It was a new helicopter, and I flew it on the fly line a few times, but I just get tired of the micro in, like, a big, mm-hmm. big field. I feel like the micro needs to be flown in a tight field or in a parking lot or, like, stupid places.
Right.
It's like an after dinner, mm-hmm. you know, go out, have dinner with your buddies, and then find, you know, some lit parking lot and just fly the crap out of it. That's where the fun is with a micro, right?
That's how it was back in the day. Yeah. I remember after IRCHA, after dinner, everyone would go to that, it was like a grocery store parking lot.
The Signature Inn.
The Hotel. Signature Inn, right next, across
next
the street.
Door, right across the street.
Yeah, just fly the 450s under the lights, but that's where the Fireball fits in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's where the fun is.
Or over a fire, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
At your house.
Yep.
But
that's where the fun is.
So, do we recommend micros? And if so, how do they really fit into a practice regimen? Do you recommend them? Would you recommend it to somebody?
Man, I think like you said earlier, I feel like if someone's listening and they're getting into helicopters, they've never flown anything before, or they have like some borrowed heli or like some cheap plastic thing, I would recommend getting something, like you said before, like in the 500 to 600 size.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best size to start.
Mm-hmm.
And get comfortable with, at least get very, very comfortable with all your forward flight. Mm-hmm. You know, comfortable with at least all hovering orientations and forward flight. Mm-hmm. Very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
If you want to venture into a micro after that, then go for it. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to learn a new maneuver, if you're getting into 3D and you're learning something new within the 3D aspect of flying, the worst helicopter to learn it with is the micro.
I agree.
I think you could do it with, you should learn it with your bigger helicopter, well, obviously simulator or whatever, and then your bigger helicopter like the 550 or the 570, 600. And then once you've done it on the helicopter, if you want to keep practicing it on the micro, then it'll make you a better pilot because it doesn't float as much. It's more squirrely. It's mm-hmm. harder to do with. So you could practice it. Once you've learned it,
mm-hmm.
you can practice it with that micro
mm-hmm.
and practice. And then when you go back to the larger heli, you're going to be like, whoa, this is easy now.
Yeah.
It's a breeze, right? But I don't think that it's a good platform to learn anything on. I think it's a good platform to practice things that you've already learned that you want to make improve or perfect.
Right. And if anything, I think it might hurt some people because the unlimited power and full power on demand will definitely not help your collective pitch management. So if you're going to go fly like a 50 or 90 size nitro after flying a micro, you're going to struggle.
And not only that, if you get used to stick banging a micro, the micros can handle an incredible amount of abuse in the air, right?
Yeah.
And if you're learning 3D and then your collective management skills are really poor and you start banging sticks and banging sticks, if you try to do that with a 700, you might boom strike, you might break something. I mean, you have to have a little bit more, you can be very aggressive and very, very brutal with your 700, but you need to know how.
Right.
So don't you agree? I mean, what would you recommend?
Basically, what you said.
Micro right off the bat and go learn stuff with it?
No. Fly for at least like a year with something bigger. Learn how to fly. Learn how to control your collective. Learn how to control the helicopter and then get something a little more compact. Because like how I used to fly micros was in like my school gymnasium, my middle school. And that was great for that. So if you have a school you can fly at and they'll let you bring a micro in, they're perfect for that. But certainly do not recommend starting out with one of those. Even though they are very cost effective and cheap and easy to crash and all that. But I think it's going to cause people more headaches and more drama and more stress if they learn on that. Because I've seen people pick up a micro and crash it over and over, but then they get something bigger and it's like, oh, this is easier to control. It's easier to learn on.
Yeah, totally. Completely different. So there you have it. I think anything that, any micro that's out there on the market is a good micro. There's no crap being sold anymore. Yeah. Unless you go with a clone or some nasty ass Chinese piece of junk, I think you will do well buying any of the reputable brand helicopters.
Don't buy a Walmart special.
No, don't buy an Air Hog. No way. But yeah, what about the bigger stuff though? The 380, 350. I mean, yeah,
there's a few others. I mean, there's the Goblin 380.
You keep saying they're not really micros anymore.
No, but
they're big, man. I mean, they're
park flyers.
Yeah, I guess. Kind of
baseball
yeah.
field flyers, yeah. soccer field. There's stuff like the 380, and then there's the T-Rex 470 and the Oxy 4, which spins 325s. But you're going up in price, and it's still something you just fly in a park or something. And you're not really gaining that much more performance, I'd say.
Yeah. I think that at least with those, you can perhaps, and in a calm day, if it's set up right, I think you can benefit more from those when it comes to learning something.
This is true.
They fly more accurately
than
the 250, 280 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're still not quite 500, 600 size, right?
Right. They're not quite stable. They're stable enough. And then at that point, they're getting more expensive to crash as well.
Yeah, they do. Especially nowadays. They're high end, man. I mean, they're not cheap anymore.
Blades are more expensive. The servos are more expensive, all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then if you go on the other end, something that's smaller than a 250... Like, I believe the Oxy 2 runs like 190 millimeter blades. Then you're going in the complete wrong direction, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like I said in the beginning, the Align 250.
Yeah.
205 millimeter blades. You're going in the wrong direction. I mean, they're fun.
I think it's more of a toy.
But they're toys.
Yeah, more of a toy. I think the Oxy 2 is a great machine. It's just kind of like a tiny Oxy 3, but it runs its own servo. It's like a sub-micro servo. You can't put like a standard... a BK DS3001. It takes its own servo. They're smaller. All that.
And then if you go into even smaller, like some of the smaller blades that have like linear actuators instead of servos and things like that, it is a toy. Yeah. It's not going to teach you shit.
No.
It's just going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's it.
Then all the way down to like the Blade MCX, the little red thing, that's just for something to fly in your basement, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I remember that thing with the motor-driven tail, too.
Yeah. They're fun. Yeah. They're great fun, but it's more of a toy. It's not really something to learn with or basically just keep the thumbs moving and enjoy it. But it's not by any means, in my opinion, to grow or develop your flying.
It's a toy. It's a cool novelty. Yeah, it's no different than like when we go to like Graves or local hobby shop and buy a foamy or something. It's just a toy.
Same thing.
You get excited just because you have a new toy, but it doesn't really do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But
cool.
Kind of it for micros, isn't it? Is there anything else?
I think
that's about it.
Yeah, we could talk about a lot of other stuff regarding micros, but I think we've covered the surface
enough
well.
Of it. Yeah, plenty of it so far.
So, what do you got going on next?
I don't know. Might go to Arizona for JC's event. Not sure yet. That'd be fun one to go to on the West Coast. We always have a good time there.
Yep.
Then after that, we got Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., and then we have the Torches Winter Bash.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So, shameless plug, you guys, if you're listening, you have to make the trip to Orlando.
You have to.
Actually, it's not a plug, because it has nothing to do with me anymore.
Yeah, you're not really involved. No,
not really. Well, I helped a little bit with sponsors, like trying to find people to sponsor it, but Yeah, you got to make the trip to continue on the tradition of the 10-year long-lasting Orlando helicopter blowout.
Mm-hmm.
So December 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Torches Field in Ocoee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Sign in on Facebook. I think we're putting some updates now under the Orlando helicopter blowout Facebook. We're going to do some updates there. And Watts Innovations, his Facebook, he's putting some updates here and there. And then check mine. I think I'll start putting updates since we're getting close to the event, the event date. But yeah, it's going to be laid back.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
I can't
wait. It'll be
cool. No formalized demos, probably. It's just hang out with your buddies.
Just hang out. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do some contests. And
yeah.
Bobby wants to do some cone clinics.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Hang out with Bobby and get some tips on flying.
Yeah.
So,
nice. Absolutely.
That'll be cool. Good. So
where can people reach you, Kyle?
Facebook.com/KyleStaceyRC. You?
Facebook.com/BurtRC.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram at Burt_Kammer.
Mm-hmm.
Or Burt Kammer. One of the two. Just look me up. And we're available at on Facebook at the BK Official. Same on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully next week we'll have some interesting topic, or we'll do some more banter about that.
We'll figure it out one way or another.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for a guest again.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or the live. We talked about the live. We need to do one of those.
We'll figure it out.
Well, thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yep. And you'll hear us again next week. See ya.